We are up to Perek Beis. We're up to Pasuk Chav Beis. Beis, Chav Beis. Three Beises. How do you like that? Beis, Chav, well, Chav is 20. Chav is 20. Beis, Chav Beis. We're up to Vayivoda Hadavar Lemordechai Vayagay Lias HaMalka Vatamar Ha'estel Lemelech B'Shem Mordechai. The matter was known to Mordechai, and he revealed this information to Esther. And Esther told over this the assassination plot to the king in the name of Mordechai. And before we go further, there's one important thing we left out from yesterday. Why exactly was Bigson Vaseresh so upset? Why? What was their complaint against Achashverosh that they wanted to assassinate him? So we learned yesterday, one interpretation was that they were replaced. That it used to be that Bigson Vaseresh, the Targum actually said this, we read the Targum yesterday, that Bigson Vaseresh would originally sit in front of the Shar HaMelech. And when Achashverosh, he promoted Mordechai, part of the promotion was Mordechai now sat or had the position that Bigson Vaseresh previously had, occupied. And therefore, they were obviously very upset that they have been removed from their post, from their position government, so they wanted, what?
Displaced.
They were displaced. So they wanted revenge, they wanted to take revenge against, they want to take revenge against Achashverosh, but it's interesting, they did not want to take revenge against Mordechai. I mean, interesting, you think, the difficulty with the Targum, according to the Targum, why was the assassination plot against Mordechai and Esther? Why wasn't it against Mordechai? Mordechai was the one to whom they really had their complaint. So you have to say it's because the one that promoted Mordechai was Achashverosh, so they directed their grievance against Achashverosh. And as you mentioned yesterday, there was the murder-suicide. They were going to assassinate Achashverosh, and they were going to plant the evidence on Esther, and Esther was going to then be killed also through a different technique, through poison. It would look like a suicide, and that would deflect any blame against Bigson Vaseresh. The investigation would stop with Esther, and they would be able to conceal that they were really behind this entire plan. Okay, but there's the Midrash and the Gra. I think the Gra and other Midrashim have another reason why they were upset, and that's because they were working too hard. Because since Achashverosh was obsessed with Esther Hamalka, so it says in the Gra, it says these very strange things, is that he was Isaac in marital relations with her, and that caused Achashverosh to get thirsty. And they had to keep on supplying him with drinks. Now, obviously, there's a lot more. There's a lot more to this. There's a lot more. What? Are you familiar with this idea?
Well, I've heard this, but why is there a lot more to this?
Well, because the entire Megillah revolves around Isudas Mishta. Everything in the Megillah, Akol Halach Al Mokom Echad, to drinks. The party was Isudas Mishta VeHashesiyo Chados Ein Ones. That's where it all started. It all started in the palace when Achashverosh, he made a banquet. He invited everyone to come and he gave them to drink. It was a mishtayayin. Esther also made a mishtayayin. Everyone is making a mishtayayin. It is significant that part of the poor miracle was the hakdam of, an essential key to this miracle was Bigson Vaseresh. And according to the Gra, based upon the Medrash, their primary grievance was that Achashverosh was always thirsty. He was thirsty for wine, for water. Why was he thirsty? Because he engaged in marital relations with Esther, which Chazal tell us it brings on thirst. And that they were overworked. I mean, what's the big deal? Anyway, they have to minister to the king. But they were overworked, and they had to bring him more drinks than they ordinarily would have to do. And that is what led them to decide they're going to take out Achashverosh by assassinating him either through a poison, like Rashi says, or through having a sword, hiding a sword inside their shoes, entering the palace and killing Achashverosh. It all comes through what?
Would actually work better because if they're constantly bringing him drinks.
Well, the problem was if they would poison him with a drink, who would be the obvious suspect?
Right.
Bigson Vaseresh. That's what the Marshal says. If they would, I mean, how did he die? He was poisoned? Who was in charge of giving him the drink? According to the Groves, Bitz and Viseresh, they were the ones that were bringing drinks after he had Tashmish with Esther. So they had to conceal their plan by killing him through a sword, and then having Esther be the one who dies through poison. That was discussed yesterday. But I want to make this point. This is a very significant point. Everything in the Megillah, when you want to look at the Megillah, there's so many different angles, so many different dimensions, has to do with a nishte, with the drinks. Mishteyayim. Here you can add to your collection of events that relate to Mishtey. Is the Mishtey this essential miracle of Bitz and Viseresh, where they wanted to kill Achashverosh because they were worked overtime in providing drinks for Achashverosh because he was thirsty due to his obsession with Esther. Okay. Now it says here, Vayivoda, what does Rashi say? Pasuk Habez, Vayivoda Dovor L'Mordechai. So we learned this before. How did he know this? Show you Mesabrim, B'divrei, M'lufon, B'loshon, Tarsi. They spoke a foreign language. Tarsi, the Ein Yoidim, Show you Mordechai. They did not realize, Show you Mordechai, Maki, B'shivim, L'shoynes. Mordechai was a genius. He was called Mordechai Bilshon in Sefer Daniel. Why? Bilshon comes from the word Lashon. Mordechai was an expert. This was his specialty. He was an expert in all 70 languages, and he had to know the 70 languages in order to serve in the Sanhedrin. The people in the Sanhedrin had to know 70 languages that was born of the conditions. He knew all 70 languages, he knew what they were saying, and that's why he was able to uncover this plot. We learned last week that who's the one that was responsible for them being permitted to speak openly in the foreign language? It was Haman. Haman did himself in, because Haman was the one that said, Amma Muchan, of Elios Kol Ish, Sorer Bivei So, Umidaber Kilishon Amo, part of the enactment that was put into play after the execution of Vashti, was every man shall rule in his home, and every man can speak any language he wants. You have, the government has to pay for signs in Spanish and French. Right? If you live in the north of the United States, all the signs are French. If you live in the south of the United States, all the signs are in Spanish. Right? This is Umidaber. So therefore, since the rule was that there's no official language for the country anymore, that's why they were free to speak Lashon Tarsi, because until this point in time, you were not allowed to speak a language openly in public other than the official Persian language. This was a takon that was made through Achashverosh with the advice of Memuchan, and where Haman did himself in, because now that they were allowed to speak a foreign language, they were taking advantage. They were speaking Tarsi in public, and they were not afraid Mordechai would know what they were saying, because they did not know that Mordechai knew all 70 languages. Had the old rule been in place, they would not have been permitted to speak in public a foreign language. There was no halacha of Umidaber Kilashon. They would have to speak in the Persian language. The Persian language, Mordechai would know in a moment what they're planning to do, and that would force them to conceal their plan and only discuss it in private. And then Mordechai would never have known. They would have succeeded. Achashverosh would have been assassinated, and then the whole story of the Megillah would have been different. Okay, now let's see Targum. Targum Pasuk Hav says, This matter was known to Mordechai. Al dahava hakim lemuhau. How did Mordechai? How was he able to know what they were saying? Al dahava hakim lemalala b'shavin lishna. Because Mordechai was wise, he was blessed with the knowledge of knowing all 70 languages. The chavela Esther. What did Mordechai do when he found out this secret plot? He spoke to Esther, Malkisa. Va'amaras Esther l'malka. Esther in turn spoke to the king. The ichtiv al shum Mordechai, and it was written in the Sefer HaZichronos in the name of Mordechai. That will come later on. That's important. Okay. Now Chazal tell us when it says va'yivoda. According to one opinion, Vayivoda means the Ruach HaKodesh. This is obviously in disagreement with what it says in the Targum and what it says in Rashi. We learn al derech pshat that Mordechai only knew about the plot because he actually was listening to Big Son of Osiresh discuss the plot in front of them. But Chazal say no such thing. Chazal say that Mordechai indeed did not know. They never discussed this plot publicly. It was private. He knew through Ruach HaKodesh. And for that matter, Chazal also, Esther also knew the same thing through Ruach HaKodesh, but Mordechai did not know that Esther was also a Balas Ruach HaKodesh. That will come to in a few moments. Okay, we'll leave that for a moment. Now this Chazal, now here it says, Vatamer Esther Lamelech B'Shem Ruach. Let's talk about this now. This is the source of a very important concept called Omer Dovar B'Shem Omroi Mevi Gu'ula Lo'olam. The question is, and this, here's where we learn it from. The Gu'ula, the salvation for the Jewish people, only came about through this event. Only because Esther, she told this information to Achashverosh in the name of Mordechai, and it was written in the Sefer HaZichronos what Mordechai did. And Balayla Hahu Nodudosh Nas HaMelech, he had the people in the palace read what happened in the past. He elevated Mordechai, and Mordechai's elevation is what led to the downfall of Haman. So the Geula for Klal Yisrael came in the time of Purim only because Esther, she reported a piece of information, she attributed the information to its true source, to Mordechai. Ha'oimer davar b'shem amroi mevi gu'ula le'oilam. Now, what is the deeper meaning behind this concept? So I came across here in this Sefer, and two different Sfarim I have used in preparation, two different ideas. Idea number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would very much like to bring the gu'ula. Problem is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that if he brings the gu'ula, there's a possibility that Hashem will bring the Geula al derech hateva. Events will happen. There'll be a war. There'll be a crisis will flare up on the other end of the world, and there'll be an engagement. And there'll be Russia will have a disagreement with Turkey, and Iran will respond, and Hezbollah will do this, and Hamas will do this, and Israel will respond to the United States. And then all of these events are just going to somehow converge, and Mashiach's going to come. Things are going to happen. That is a possibility, and we don't know how events will unfold. But it's a very real possibility that Mashiach will unfold through a sequence of events playing out on the world scene. A person could make the mistake and say, it's just a coincidence. It's just a coincidence that this country happened to do this, and this happened, and that happened. And people will not be willing to attribute the sequence of events to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his desire to bring the Geula. So Hashem says, if that's the case, why bother bringing the Geula? The only reason why I'm going to bring Mashiach and bring the Geula for Klal Yisrael is in order to be Marbe, the Kvod Shemayim, in order that people can recognize that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and you have an obligation in this world to serve Hashem. But if people are going to be blind, and they're not going to be willing to go through the effort to attribute, to search for the source of why things happen, I'm not going to bother bringing Mashiach. Therefore, as a prerequisite, in order to get a human being in the mode of looking for a source, where something comes from, Chazal have told us, Ha'oimer davar b'shem amro. If you're giving a shir, and you're teaching Torah, or if you're telling over the news, and you have a chiddush, something unique, something novel to report, get into the habit of not taking credit, of searching for the source of where this bit of information has come from. Get into that train of thought. Don't take credit for yourself. How do you know it? Prove it to me. Who said it? Show me the source. When you get into the habit of attributing simple events in life to its true source, then when bigger events unfold before you, you will naturally search for the source, and you will come to the recognition and realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is pulling the strings, and everything that happens in this world really comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Ha'omer Davar B'Shem Omroi, a person that gets into the habit of searching for the Shoresh, for the root cause of every single thing in life, has acquired a critical midah, a characteristic that is essential for HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing the Geula. It's a very beautiful idea. Okay, so this is one approach. Another very nice idea is that this idea is a little bit off the charts, it's a little bit different, that's what we're used to hearing. And this is based upon the Chazal that says, Mordechai knew that Bigson and Vaseresh were planning an assassination against Achashverosh only through Ruach HaKodesh. Not like Rashi, not like the Targum. He did not eavesdrop. He did not have any spy equipment to eavesdrop on what people are saying. He just happened Ruach HaKodesh. So he told Esther. Esther had access to the same Ruach HaKodesh. Mordechai was not aware of this. Mordechai, this is what Chazal say, Mordechai did not know. It's like Avraham and Sarah. Hashem said to Avraham, Kol Asher Toimar Sarah Shma Bekoila. Sarah's degree of Ruach HaKodesh, of Nevuah, is even greater than yours. Avraham was not aware of this. Because if he was aware of this, he never would have questioned Sarah's demand that Yishmael be removed, be driven out of Avraham's home. He was not aware. Just, there are many parallels between Avraham and Sarah and Mordechai and Esther. We see that from the Megillah, that Esther was ruled over 127 Medinos, corresponding to the 127 years of her life. Esther was 75 years old, in one opinion, when she was brought to Achashverosh, corresponding to the 75 years of Avraham's life, the age of Avraham, when Hashem said to Avraham, Lech Lecha, I am sending you on a mission. There are many parallels. But here's another parallel, where Mordechai was not aware of the degree of Ruach HaKodesh that Esther possessed. Therefore, Esther, on her own, if Mordechai knew, Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, that Bigson Vaseresh were planning an assassination against Achashverosh, that means Esther knew the same thing. If that is the case, Esther had the full right to tell this information to Achashverosh in her own name. Because I also know this. I have independent source. I don't need to come on to Mordechai. Yet, Esther had a midah toiva where she was willing, where I know this information, but let me give you the pleasure. She had a midah toiva of letting Mordechai score points. Obviously, whoever would get it would be never whoever's name it would be recorded. It would be recorded. They would be elevated. They would earn points, publicity, honor, power would be granted in reward for this information. Esther could have easily done this in her own name, and furthermore, the Midrashim say even a little bit further that Mordechai instructed Esther not to reveal it in her name. Not to reveal this information in the name of Mordechai. He told her, you take the credit for it. How do we know that? Look at the difference in the words. When Mordechai told the information to Esther, it says the word Vayagate, Esther Hamalka. Then when Esther reports this information to Achashverosh, the word is Vatomer. Why do we change from the word Vayagate to the word Vatomer? Let it say both Tagit or Vayomer Vatomer, the feminine form Vatomer and Vayomer. It should say Vayomer le Esther Hamalka, Vatomer Esther le Melch Moshe Mordechai. Or let it say Vatayaged le Esther Hamalka, Vatayaged Esther le Melch Moshe Mordechai. Why is there a change of expression from Haggadah to Amira? So there are many answers, but one of the answers is that the word Vayaged, when you contrast the two, he was telling her, I'm telling you this information, I do not want attribution. Don't anonymous, don't let this information be known that it came from me. In fact, you take the credit. Haggadah, I'm just passing on information and it's anonymous. Vayaged le Esther Hamalka. Do not, the word Vayomer has a, you have to prove this. I don't know where the proof of this is, but you have to find, look, study where, how the words are used in Tanakh. Vayaged means, I'm giving you information, do not attribute this information to me. Keep it for yourself. take credit for it. Yet when Esther relays this information to Achashverosh, she uses the word Vatomer, because the word Vatomer has a connotation, let us go back to the source where this information has come from, and that's why the pasuk includes B'shei Mordechai. When you're reporting information, you want to know the source, then you use the word Vayomer, or in this case, feminine Vatomer. So therefore, what happened over here is each one, this is the beauty, each one was trying to let the other one get the credit. Like it's like ikdus of the Mashiach. The time of Mashiach has negin to be, but what do you have to have bati dinim for in time of Mashiach? You have to have a Sanhedrin. Because the time of Mashiach, the dinay Torah is not going to be, I want, we have a din Torah and two people are fighting who gets the money. Each one will come to Bezdin that the other one should get the money. Could you imagine you have a din Torah, two people come to Bezdin and they say we have a dispute, we have a dispute, we have a business, and I feel that my partner in business, he deserves the bonus. He deserves this, an extra $100,000. It's not clear who should get this bonus. I think that he put in the time and the effort and he deserves the money. And the partner says just the opposite. The other one should get the part of the money. Sometimes the Mashiach is going to be batidim, they're going to be scandals, right? And they're going to be fighting, they're going to come to court to fight who, each party is going to say he should get the money. So it's the same thing over here. Mordechai and Esther, they're fighting who should get the credit for this prized bit of intelligence of the assassin, the revelation of this assassination plot that saved the life of the king. Mordechai is saying, give credit to Esther, and Esther is saying, give credit to Mordechai. Ahava v'reus. There is love and chiba between one man and another, and that's what the Medrash goes on to say. That's why the end pasuk of Gimel, this event made a very great impression before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayikosei b'sefer divrei ha'yamim lefnei ha'melech, when it says melech without Achashverosh, it always refers to the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. The one that took note of this event more than people on this world was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had Nachas Ruach that two people in this world were fighting to give another person kavod, and they were not trying to take the kavod for themselves. Yeah.
So there's no, and if you could take it a step further, I mean, if we're hearing Ruach HaKodesh,
yes,
the Ribbono Shel Olam?
Well, that is something. It could be that it would not be appreciated. Right. It, like you go to a guy, Achadosh, how do you know this?
The credit, yeah.
Ruach HaKodesh.
Well, like,
they'll say you're a quack.
If she doesn't attribute to the information to Mordechai, how does she say she found it out?
She could say, "I'm sure she had ways. I'm sure there are."
That wouldn't work.
Why wouldn't it work? We don't know all the, this is what it says. This is what it says in the Sfarim. I can't tell you all the names of the various sources for this.
Why did she say B'shem Amram?
Why did she? Because Mordechai told her not to.
Yeah.
So I guess there are times when you're mechuyev to listen to what you're being told, to follow instructions. Ein este magedes melata v'yasma kasher tzivu l'Mordechai. Maybe that's part of the depth of ein este magedes, but there are times when you don't listen. That's part of her brilliance, Esther. She knew when to listen to Mordechai, and she knew when not to listen to Mordechai. When it came to not revealing as Amav Yes Moladata, Mordechai said gag order, she listened. But this was something she had the chokhmah. I'm not mechuyev to listen. He's only telling it to me not only because of humility, only because of it, not because it's necessary for Klal Yisrael, it's only for his own personal gain. So this she felt that it was necessary to reveal in the name of Mordechai. So therefore, this is here what it means. Ha'omer dav b'shem omer mevi gulu li'olam means it's a midah of Ava v'reus. The reason why the Bayis Sheni was destroyed was because of Sinas Chinam. And the Mikdash will only be restored when the midah of Sinas Chinam is removed. And that Sinas Chinam can only be repaired when each one is looking out for the benefit of the other, not trying to take something for themselves, not trying to grab a power grab, a covered grab, to be in the limelight. This is ha'oiner dar b'shem amro, not take credit for yourself to be concerned with the covenant of someone else. This is where mevi gu'ulo yolam, specifically in this case, where each one rightfully on their own could have taken credit. But yet each one was willing to be mevater and give over to someone else. Yes.
So why can't we just say that she was a smart wife?
She was.
No, she gave credit. It's like a smart business person gives credit to somebody else.
For their own benefit.
Yeah. That they should own it.
Okay, but here it appears, okay, there's more to it, obviously. But here, firstly, it was not known that they were married. That was the big secret.
No. But they knew.
Yeah. Who knew? Mordechai Esther knew, yeah.
So she's just being a good wife. You make your husband feel important.
This is not your ordinary marriage. This is not an ordinary marriage, dude.
Oh, no. Maybe she was a threat.
Okay, but obviously we're dealing with a very unique circumstance here, where we're okay. So we don't really. There's obviously a lot more to it.
She's already in a very advantageous position, and he can use the credit.
Well, he was also elevated. Mordechai Yosha b'Shar HaMelech, he was upgraded. It seems like he was he reached the peak of his career.
She was in even better position.
She was the queen. Yeah,
I missed something. What was the message that they were trying to give over to the? What was the message?
Assassination plot. The big son of Asherish were planning to assassinate Achashverosh. All right. Okay. Now, there's a very big question. This is a very interesting topic. Why did Achashverosh now want to save the life of Achashverosh? Now, we discussed yesterday. Why did Mordechai want to save? Why did Esther also? Why do they want to save his life? We discussed this yesterday. If you learn like the Targum, that the assassination plot was against. Esther as well, then it's obvious. Esther had her own interest in mind. Targum says that the assassination plot was not just against Achashverosh, it was against Achashverosh and Esther. The murder-suicide, the plan was to murder Achashverosh, and then to poison Esther, to make it look like Esther murdered Achashverosh, and Esther then commits suicide, and then they'll blame the Jews. Okay, so then it's obvious why Mordechai had to expose this. But according to Rashi, the simple understanding of the psukim, the attempt was only against Achashverosh. Haman would have taken over. We discussed yesterday. Haman would have taken over. We discussed yesterday, those that were not here yesterday, we discussed yesterday that is when we combine the opinion of the Marsha, of the Targum and Rashi, there's a Marsha, and there are commentators, that the basic idea was the one that was behind, and is based upon a Medrash at the end of the Megillah Esther, towards the end of Megillah Esther, the brain behind this elaborate plot was Haman. Haman was the one who wanted to wipe out Achashverosh and Esther. Haman had a personal grievance against Achashverosh because Achashverosh did not select his daughter as the new queen. So Haman wanted to take revenge, assassinate Achashverosh. He recruited Bigson Vaseresh. Bigson Vaseresh had access to the king's drinks and had access to the threshold. They were in charge of security. And therefore the plan was they would sneak a knife in their shoe. They were the first shoe bombers. Remember that Nisa, they had that guy locked up somewhere. That shoe bomber, they found explosives in his shoes. That's why today when you go international flights, they make you take off your shoes. What?
Didn't Ehud do it once? Remember the king assassinated the king? He brought in a thing, a
sword. Not in his shoe.
No, but in his garment.
In his garment, right. He brought a small knife in his garment. That's right, correct. But here it says in the Medrash, he brought it in his shoe. They put it in their shoes. A shoe bomber. So he came in, that's the plan, was to enter into the palace and stab Achashverosh, to poison Esther, to poison Esther and to make it look like a murder-suicide. Esther assassinated Ahasuerus, and then Esther commits suicide. That would achieve two great goals. Number one, it would deflect any blame, any suspicion from Big Son of Osiris. Number two, we would then reveal Esther is a Jewess, and the Jews are responsible for all of the world's problems, including global warming. They're responsible for all the world's problems, and therefore blame the Jews, and let's cleanse the world from the Jews. What's it called? Judenrein, right? It's called Judenrein? Judenrein. No more Jews. That was the plan. And who was the brain behind this master plan? Haman. It didn't work. It didn't work. But at least Haman was able to wiggle out of it. He escaped. He was very, very sneaky. He survived. Not only did he survive after this whole thing was over. In fact, the Medrash says he took credit for it. Later on, 5 years down the line, he was able to rewrite the books of history. He took credit for saving the life of Ahasuerus. And now that he attempted to assassinate Ahasuerus, he ended up taking the plan. It's like a real good novel. He ended up taking credit for saving the life of Ahasuerus. But the real records reported that it was Mordechai that saved the life. So the question is, that's all very nice, but let's learn the Pesukim al derech pshat, that the only one the plan was against was Ahasuerus, was not against Esther. There was no elaborate plan. Why did Mordechai bother to reveal this information? So let Ahasuerus be, mind your own business. If he'll be assassinated, he'll be assassinated. And then Esther will go home, she'll be free, she'll be released, and Shalom al Yisrael. It's a good kasha. So some want to say something very shocking. I don't know if this is a series or this is Purim Torah. Some of the big adults say this is it's a numbers game. Ahasuerus is one person. Big Son of Osiris are two people. They're equally wicked. Better knock off two Rishonim than one Rasha. If they reveal the assassination plot, so Big Son Viserys will be executed. And Ahasuerus. So it's a number game. I don't think that's a serious answer, okay? But that's it says this all over the place. Look in the swarm, yeah?
The model said that all of a sudden, a Jewish queen comes, all of a sudden, a new Jewish advisor comes. And bang.
Oh, so this is another answer that Mordechai felt compelled, because since Mordechai was now Yoishev Bishar HaMelech, he was sitting there at the front gate, he would be blamed. In other words, it would all lead to Mordechai. Mordechai was the one that took over the position of Big Son of Esther, and suddenly Mordechai was clearly Jewish, no doubt about that, right. And suddenly the king is assassinated, so who are they going to blame? They're going to blame the Jews. So Mordechai, to save his own hide, to save himself, had no choice but to reveal this information. Okay, that's pshat. That's the net. But they're midrashim. Now, the midrashim really, they really shed a lot of light on modern day in society today. And Chazal say Mordechai, according to the Medrash, Mordechai was really struggling with this dilemma. Mordechai would have been very happy. Mordechai knew Ahasuerus was a very wicked person. And maybe in his eyes it would have been taka better for Ahasuerus. He looked at the possible successors. Mordechai knew. He knew the succession. You know, the vice president. You know, the speaker of the house. There's a whole long line of succession. He knew what would happen. So Mordechai struggled. Let Ahasuerus be removed and let someone else come to power. Maybe it will be better for the Jews. After all, Ahasuerus did issue a stay in regard to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But Mordechai, he took out a Tanakh, and he discovered there are three people in Tanakh who he wanted to identify with. Number one, Yaakov Avinu. Number two, Yosef HaTzadik. And number three, not long ago, and maybe living in this time, is Daniel. And each of these three people, not blessed and served with great loyalty the king of the world who was evil. Yaakov Avinu, he blessed Paro. Egypt was the Ervas Haaretz. It wasn't so simple in Egypt, what was going on in Egypt. And Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu came in front of Paro, Yaakov Avinu, he gave elaborate brachos, blessings to the leader of the world, of the Malchus, the world power was Egypt, was Paro. Yosef, Also, Yosef interpreted the dreams. Paro was disturbed. Yosef came to his rescue. And Daniel also interpreted the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, it says in the Medrash that Mordechai learned from this that it's not your business to make calculations who would be the successor, will it be good for the Jews, not good for the Jews. It's not your business. You have to focus on the Kavod HaMalchus. There's something called Kavod HaMalchus. And whether you like it, whether you don't like it, you have to accept it. You have to accept it, and you have this sub that malchusa the arokay, malchusa the rakia. Now, you know, this is a very disturbing idea because, and we don't really know the degree of wickedness that Achashverosh. Let me give you an example that every day recently in the news that they were debating this in the news. If you theoretical question, if you can go back in time, would you assassinate Hitler? Yimach Shemo. Right. So all the politicians, and they all gave their. I don't even read all the answers they gave. They asked this question: would you go back? So, of course you would. I mean, hindsight, you know, 2020. But even in that, going back, you see a king that is a open anti-Semite. You're not going to go, and if you have an opportunity to take him out, you're not going to take him out. And especially if you hear of a plot, you know, you're hearing the news, you happen to be walking in the street and you overhear two people that are talking about the assassination plot, no one's going to blame you. No one's going to blame you. So let them go and do what they're going to do. They'll go and they'll assassinate. So I don't know. Where exactly do you draw the line? Obviously, no one's going to say that you're living in Nazi Germany in 1939 and you see the rise of Hitler and you see what he's all about and you're walking in the street and you hear a plan to assassinate him. You're not going to go and reveal this information. You're going to let it happen. I'm assuming, right? Isn't that correct? And yet, is Achashverosh really that much different than 1939 Nazi Germany? Is he really that much different? Achashverosh was a partner with Haman in stopping the building of the Beis HaMikdash. They were not exactly very favorable of the Jews. And yet, Mordechai, he's in the street, he hears two people talking about an assassination plot. Put aside what you just said from the Maral, all of these Alderch Pshat, no one's going to blame Mordechai. And yet Mordechai goes out of his way to save the life of someone who's clearly an anti-Semite. You're not going to say not, because Mordechai said, it's not for me to make calculations to know the secrets of the world. This is the Melech. A Melech, Lev Melech, Biyad Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this person in power. Achashverosh is the king. Kvod Malchus. What's going to be with Klal Yisrael later on? That's up to Hashem. It's not for me to make cheshbonos and to see who's going to be his successor. There's a Yaakov Avinu, who gave a bracha to the king. There's a Yosef HaTzadik. There is Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar probably was even worse, was the worst of the worst. And yet, Mordechai, al derech pshat, goes out of his way to save the life of an open anti-Semite because of Kavod Malchus.
Mordechai
know that
Haman
was Amalek? Yes. I think you'd have the right to assume the answer is yes, yeah.
You'd be instrumental in elevating
an Amaleki. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily was Haman the next one in line to become king. Maybe Haman thought he was, but nothing was a given. Nothing was a given. Maybe Mordechai can manipulate things where Haman would not become the next king.
But it would be passed down from father to son, general.
Who did he have any children at this point in time?
We don't know
if he had any children at this point in time.
We don't know.
That. We don't know. Obviously, he had so many people. Actually, he must have had children.
Members.
Or
go to an outsider.
Okay, so we don't really know. There are a lot of admissions, but this is an idea that the Medrash is basically saying, put aside all of your calculating your cheshbonos. There's something to learn from this. If there's a melech, a person who has power, have honor for the king. There is a degree of respect and cover that goes to the king, the melech. He lives with an unusual hashkacha pratis, and you have to respect that. In America, I mean, it's unprecedented in history where you can have a person that has such power and you can openly say the most disgusting and nastiest things about him in front of millions of people. Look, Rush Limbaugh, he has an audience, he always breaks an audience of 10 million people every single day listening to him. And the things that come out of his mouth are noyed of oyim. It is unprecedented in history.
By that you mean brilliant.
It is unprecedented in history with the President of the United States, whether you like him or not, the power, the degree of power that he has is unprecedented. It's unprecedented. What?
We respect the office.
The office. Okay, but it's always the office. Go back in history, there's the king, the office of being the king, and then there is the person who occupies that office. It's always been like that. And in history, until very recent times, you don't speak out publicly against a person that possesses power. Even though it's... What?
Against Lincoln, they didn't speak out.
That's called modern. I'm talking, okay, I told you that's 200 years. Okay, we're going back 200 years. Let's go back before. Okay, Nachanami. Even, I guess all modern history, but even the kings, Lincoln, they didn't speak out with the same disrespect that they speak, that today is open. It's a different degree. And forget, before America, talk about a king, it just didn't exist. It just, this mitzvah did not exist. If you are in a position of power, that automatically demands that your subjects have respect. And today, the President of the United States probably has more power than any king had in the history of the world. Okay, there are certain laws and regulations and whatever, but bottom line is, executive order, it's a noyed of oyim, what you can do. It's unbelievable. And yet, what is Mordechai? And yet, Mordechai, he has respect. He stands down. The king is in danger. You have to make this known to the king, whether you like the king or not. Even though, obviously, Mordechai.
Have a sub-use in mind to advance the cause of the Jews. Here we find there's like one plus on the scale.
Well, the Medrash seems to say the Medrash. Right, there are many different. That's one approach. That's what Reb Mechol is saying. You can make a very strong argument that it was done al der chokhma, that practically the best thing is for Achashverosh is to remain in power. He is the lesser of the evils.
Not only that, but he gets credit.
He's the lesser of the evils. There will be advantages if he gets credit, 100%. That's one approach. Reb Mechol went and he cited sources for that approach. But the Medrash, if you read between the lines of the Medrash is telling you, reject all of that. Reject it. Even if there was nothing to be gained and everything to be lost, that Achashverosh lives on, an evil, evil man lives on, and his successor would al derech hateva been much, much better for the Jewish people and for the world, it doesn't matter. If this person has been appointed into a position of power by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lev Melech Biyad Hashem, it's a Hashkocha Pratis, who is in a position of power. And therefore, that demands, the Medrash says, Mordechai, he struggled with this. He looked at Yaakov, he looked at Yosef, he looked at Daniel, he analyzed their relationship with the king, the power of the world. And the Medrash seems to say is that they did not see things the same way. Yet, these three tzaddikim, they humbled themselves in front of the power of the day.
You could say a little bit of difference. You know, when Yaakov came down, he was had to be gratuitous quarrel.
He didn't have to bless him.
He came in as a guest. Even though his son was the viceroy.
He went overboard, though.
I'm a guest in your country. I'm coming to thank you because you were willing to take me like I'm an immigrant. Yosef was elevated. I mean, he was a
son. He interpreted the dreams of Paro.
Okay, so Daniel was taken, remember,
Nebuchadnezzar
took the best of the...
Okay, you have to study. Inochinami, you have to... Okay, I'm just throwing this out. You have to study the Midrashim. You have to study this...
Let me see how it plays out. I don't have to get involved. We'll be a neutral party. The Goyim are fighting. Let them kill each other. I don't care. If you take that approach, if you take Rebbe Mechol's approach, I agree with that.
An advantage.
There's a plus on the side. But to say that he got involved because of Kippur and Amos.
That's what the Medrash says.
But just to say that he got a defensive shot.
He felt that there's an obligation to step forward. There's an obligation that this is the Melech, and the Melech, just the fact that he is the Melech demands that every subject in the country it has to have derech eretz for the Melech. And that means if you know something bad that's going to happen to the Melech, you have to speak up. It's a chiddush. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you, that this is a very big chiddush. The Medrash makes this point. The Medrash says we can just stand down, just be neutral, exactly what you said. But yet he went out of his way to reveal information to the benefit of Achashverosh. Why? Because you are a subject in his country. And Derech Eretz demands that you Malchus demand such a thing, and just take that idea and look at it in modern times.
You say it in the Chumash.
Okay, you're that's even a citizen of Mitzvah.
As much as they mistreated you,
you still have an obligation. Okay, so this is something, just an idea to take note of. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yikchav Gimel. Vayivukash hadavav vayimotzei. They made an investigation. Was this correct? Vayimotzei. It was discovered that the information was correct. Vayitolu shneim al eitz, and both Bikson and Vaseresh were hung on a tree, on one eitz, meaning they were hung on the same tree. Vayikosei b'sefer divrei hayamim lufnei hamelach. Let's first see Rashi pasuk of Gimel. Vayikosei b'sefer divrei hayamim hatoyva she'asa Mordechai lamelach. It was written in the sefer divrei hayamim, the kindness that Mordechai did for the king. He saved his life. Okay, let's first see the Targum Pasuk of Gimel.
I think it's crazy to think that at this time, this juncture, before Bishnas, you know, Balayla Hu Nodido, that he let it go. It just shows you how much he disliked Jews, because even though they wrote it down, I think normally speaking, if somebody would say, this person Mordechai saved your life, right then on the spot, you'd want to say, I'd like to talk to you, I'd like to meet you, maybe do something to you.
He did nothing.
He wrote it down.
He wrote it down, did nothing.
And let it ride.
It's very surprising. It shows where what he thought of the Jews,
right.
And it goes. It adds more support. It adds more of a, why bother? What am I doing this for? All right, Mr. Rappaport, what am I? Look, he got nothing. Mordechai, he did this. He saved his life. Rabbi Yevsky said, and what happened? Nothing. He doesn't even get a thank you note. Nothing. No acknowledgement. No acknowledgement. It just goes to show. What? No, later. Not now. He got the promotion before. Before he got the promotion, he replaced them. He didn't even get a thank you. So it goes to show what Achashverosh thought of Mordechai. So therefore, that's what he thought of him. So why should I even bother? I'm not going to even get a thank you, a postcard from the Melech. I saved your life. Under normal circumstances, you'll be televised, you'll have a state dinner in your honor, and so on and so forth. And nothing. So it goes to show, it adds to the question, why bother? It goes to show, even though I'm not going to get anything in exchange, it's my duty. I'm a citizen of this country. It's my duty to give comfort to the Malchus. It comes to enhance this idea. Okay, so now it says here, now there are a few things. Let's first see the Targum. Targum Pasuk of Gimel, the Isba, Piskamo, it was investigated. This matter was investigated, the Ishtakach Keshot, and it was discovered to be MS. The Itztelivu, Sarvehon, Al Kesa, both of them were hung on a piece of wood. The Ichtiv, what? What was the nature of full? It says Vayivukash. We have a right to assume the full scope of the FBI. The FBI.
What he doesn't tell us what they were plotting.
Well, we discussed it yesterday. Either whatever the plot was, they're going to kill. They're gonna stab with a sword.
Yeah. But what the point of it was? In other words, what was the what did they have against Achashverosh?
Also, that we discussed before you came. We discussed that he was too thirsty. They were overworked, overtime, or their grievance was that they were removed from their post. Mordechai,
well, I would have thought that it was over the fact that Vashti was killed, and she was from Persian side of the kingdom, and he was a Mede, and they were
okay.
I mean, that's my
okay. Could be in. I am part of Matara. An investigation was done. Like today they're still talking about what's happening in California. They launched an intensive investigation to discover the causes that caused all of the reasons. Yeah.
One version. Says that they found a poisonous snake that was the source of poison.
And they look for evidence. They look for evidence. They look for the poisonous snake, and they look for the sword, and they had interviews, and they pulled out all the cameras. And we understand they launched whatever the standard was of the standard of the day. They launched a full-fledged investigation. Vayivukash hadavar vayimotzei. It was discovered. The Targum says kishot. Everything that Mordechai Nestor said was on the mark. Was 100% accurate. They were both hung up on a piece of wood. The itzdelivu. They were hung up on a tarvehon al kesa on a piece of wood. The iskiv besifra. It was written in the book. Dochronayo of remembrance. The sefer hazichronos. The miskarei. He adds here a very powerful word. Tidira, that was continuously read. Kodamalka. So it seems that there was a book they always would remind the king. That's what the Targum says. Every other day, they would read over certain key briefings. There were briefings, and in the briefings, they revealed
history
the... What?
With history bomb.
Could be, okay. They read Tidira. It was continuous. Tamid, continuously, this information was repeated before the king. It seems that conveniently he forgot about this for 5 years. That's going to be the next part. Okay, now there are a lot of ideas being presented here. First of all, this is the last pasuk before we begin the Achar HaDvarim Ho'ela. Now, the Achar HaDvarim Ho'ela is a very important Rashi. Rashi says, look, just jump ahead for one moment to the next parak, parak Gimel. Shenivreis Rifua Zo Lios Lishua Li Yisrael. Which basically is that this is a very powerful Rashi, and it's telling us that everything in the first two parakim is in the category of a Rifua. Mm-hmm. All of the details, every single little detail, is another necessary element, another necessary ingredient that will be needed for what's yet to come. Everything so far here is the refuah. So we discussed many different ideas. We're not going to go over them now. All different things which are happening over here, which are all going to be necessary, what's going to come on later on. One of the important things that Chazal point out is this word here, Vayivukash, was also part of the refuah, that they made an investigation, because this served as an intense kitroi, accusation against more Achashverosh and Haman when they decided to destroy the Jews. Because when Haman presented his case to Achashverosh, he came in with a whole committee. Achashverosh, we want to enact new legislation, we want to destroy the Jews. We want to pass a law, we want to destroy the Jews, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you, I have 100 reasons why. Dos sehem shonos mikol am v'yes dosei hamelech einem osim v'la melech ein shoveh lahanichon. A pasuk telling basically three different categories, but that encompasses, he had a whole commission, working on hundreds and thousands of reasons with the most brilliant minds trying to persuade the king why it's worthy to destroy, to cleanse the world from the Jewish people. And after everything is said and done, all of the whole accusation, what does Achashverosh say? Go right ahead. Hakesif nosun loch v'ha'om la'sos bo katobeinecha. There's one word that's missing. The word that's missing later on is Vayuvukash Hadovar. He had no right to give Haman the Tabas until he made his own investigation. Just like here, when there was a report that there was an assassination plot against Achashverosh, he did not immediately execute Big Son of Osirish, even though the information came from the highest levels. It came from the CIA, it came from the FBI. Mordechai is Yoshev Shar HaMelech. The queen herself says, she has executive privileges, says that is an assassination plot. That should have been enough for Achashverosh to say, these rumors, the rumors alone that come from the queen and from Mordechai should be more than enough for me to execute Big Son of Osirish. There should be no need to waste money on launching an investigation to determine if the information is accurate. Yet, innocent until proven guilty. They were the modern America. Innocent until proven guilty. Their accusations against Big Son Viserys? You're innocent. We'll put you aside. We'll launch a full investigation, even though our sources are the best of the best, and only when Vayimotze, then we assassin, then we punish them. But when it came to the Jews, it was total lies from beginning to end. What harm are the Jews doing to the country? The Jews, they bring to the country the biggest bracha. It was a lie from beginning to end. There was no vayivukash hadavar vayimotse. History repeats itself. This has always been the story of the Jews. The double standard. The double standard. This is the double standard. And this double standard was taken out as part of the Refu Kodim the Makkah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets to a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tolerate double standards. And when Klal Yisrael Oisim Mitzvah Shel Makom, Hashem says it's not Hashem's standard, it's not fair. The double standard is not fair. This is a beautiful idea. It's a critical yisod. These two words, these three words, Vayivukash Hadavar Vayimotzei, contrast this what it says later on, HaKesef Nasalach V'Am Lasos Bokato Be'enecha, the story of the Jewish people in history, the story of the double standard. This idea I saw in the Mishpatzei Zahav. The Mishpatzei Zahav, give me one moment, on the Pasuk Vayivukash Hadav Avimotzei. Give me one moment, please. Everything I say is not for me. Well, not everything, but most things. Vayivukash Hadav Avimotzei. I prepared this on Sunday. No, it's not here. It must be then in I can't remember. One of the big things I'm learning is the good svarim. There are so many svarim. After a while, right away you figure out which svarim you like. I like this is very, very good. This is probably the best. The Mishpatzei Zahav has Mishpatzei Zahav. This is really, the ideas he has here. Weiss. Shapsi Sheftel Weiss. Another very good sefer is the Saras Medinais. Has awesome, very good, very, very profound ideas. Oitz Midrashim. It's a collection of Midrashim. It's really, and then there's another very, very good sefer I came across. I don't remember the name of the sefer. It's really on the Grah. It's an elaboration on the ideas from the Grah. And okay, let's just finish up running out of time. Okay. Now, just one thing, a point I've got to make is what does it mean by Yimotzei? Vayimotzei is lashon of a mitzia, which means this is a medrash. The medrash says there's an aveda versus a mitzia. It was a miracle they found the evidence. In other words, big son of a seresh, according to the medrash, big son of a seresh planned the perfect crime. You ever read these novels? So they have these different episodes online or on television. The perfect crime, right? The perfect crime. The truth is, big son of a seresh, indeed, the medrash has planned the perfect crime. They left absolutely no trace of evidence. The only reason why they were discovered was because Nisim. Nisim and flows, that's hidden in the word vayimotzei, a mitzia. You don't go out into the street looking for mitzias. You're not going to find mitzias. A mitzia is a gift. You go out into the street looking for an avedos. I lost something. It's there. I definitely lost my watch. Where is it? Is it on this street? Is it on that street? Did someone find it and take it home with them? We'll then have to go look at all the cameras and the pictures, make interviews to find, do an investigation. But it's definitely there. The evidence is there, you gotta go find it. The word mitzia has a connotation, it's impossible for you to find, it's a needle in the haystack, not even, it doesn't even exist. It's a mitzia. And therefore the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the evidence to incriminate them in order to prepare the refuah koidem, the makkah. Okay, now what exactly is all the other deal? The Mepharshim point out, it says that what exactly was their plan? What exactly did they find? Vayimotzei, we go back to the previous pasuk, Mordechai, Vayimotzei, Mordechai, Yoshev, Shai Melech. Back in pasuk Chaval, it says, Kotza, big son of a Ser, Shnei, Ser, Shai Melech, Mi, Shai, Mei, Hasaf. How many Shomrei Hasaf were there in total? The Medrash says three. There were three Shomrei Hasaf. Only two of the three were on the plan. in order for one to prepare the poison, or to make the preparations, one of them had to do double duty. So no, the night is divided into three parts, and in each part, each one, there was Bigson, Seresh, and an unknown third party did the third watch. Bigson and Seresh, they conspired to assassinate the king, but one of them had to make all the preparations. So the other one said, "I will do your work. I will stand guard during your watch. I'll do double duty while you go get the materials so we can execute this plan." When it says Vayimotzei, the Medrash says it was found, the incriminating evidence was Vayimotzei, he was found at the wrong time. Why are you on guard during these 4 hours? During these 4 hours, Seresh is supposed to be on guard. Why are you doing double duty, doing a double shift? Where is Bigson, or where is Seresh? That is what opened up the investigation. The first thing that they were able to use as a way to discover that there was something going on here is that Vayimotzei, that these two guardians were covering one for another. Okay, the last thing over here is Lefnei HaMelech. Okay, there's a Medrash. The Medrash is something very strange, is that Achashverosh did not trust his historians. His secretary. The secretaries are in charge of recording and keeping record of the diary. So it says that Achashverosh was paranoid. And when something good or something bad would happen, he would not allow his secretary to record the event without him watching. Achashverosh himself, he sat there with the secretary and he watched the secretary record, "This event indeed has happened. Mordechai saved my life." And that's what the pasuk here says, "Vayikosei b'sefer divrei hayomim lefnei hamelach." It was authentic. It was authentic, and that's something that was necessary for what's coming up in the next parak. All right, let's just begin the next pasuk. Read the words. The pasuk will stop. The next parak begins the refuah that becomes koydim lemaka. Just one concluding vod. What's the significance of refuah lemaka? The Medrash elaborates and tells that this is the difference between klali yisrael l'umas ha'olam. By klali yisrael, Hashem creates the refuah before the maka. By the umas ha'olam, Hashem first brings the maka, and then Hashem brings the refuah if they deserve the refuah. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Pasuk, it says, by Mitzrayim, Hashem will first smite Mitzrayim, and then Hashem will heal them. It's referring to Mitzrayim, not the ancient Egypt, it's talking about Egypt in time of Yeshaya. Yeshaya has a prophecy regarding Mitzrayim. They'll be smitten, and then Hashem will heal them. So in the Mishpat Zav, he presents a beautiful idea, and he says, what's the difference between exactly the difference between the Klal Yisrael and the Umos Olam? Again, one more time. Klal Yisrael, Hashem creates the refuah first, and then Hashem brings the makkah. The refuah is already prepared. By the umos ha'olam, first comes the makkah, and then if Hashem wants, He creates the refuah. So he explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Hashem wanted to create the world with midas hadin. When He saw the world cannot exist with midas hadin, he added midas harachamim. So he explains that's the difference. The first thing is always midas hadin. The second thing is midas harachamim. Hashem created an ideal world. In an ideal world is midas hadin. This is the standard. It's just that not everyone can meet the standard. Like you have professors in college. They give out the curriculum. They tell you the grades, and the grades are that if you get over a certain average, then you get over a 9, you'll get an A. Halacha l'maisa, most of the class cannot reach those standards. So when the semester comes to an end, so typically, so you lower the standards. You have chesed. You go and anyone get over an 85 will also get an A in the course. This is the derech ha'olam. You start off with midas hadin, and you strive for din. If you can't reach din, then you give rachamim. By the umos ha'olam, Hashem doesn't have rachmanis. If you don't behave, there is the makkah. There is punishment. There is suffering. You're not fulfilling your duty. And then Hashem, he has Rachmanis. He heals the world from their suffering. By Klal Yisrael, Midos Hadin demands that there be refuah. The first thing Hashem does when it comes to Klal Yisrael, through Midas Hadin, Hashem's standard is, we're not going to let my people suffer no matter what. Midas Hadin demands that there be Rachamim. You know, it's like Yitzchak. Yitzchak is a question, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the world, at the time of Mashiach, Hashem will say to Avraham Avinu, your children have sinned. What should I do with them? So Avraham says, no, they sinned. So punish them. What do you want from me? So Hashem then goes to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, your children, they're sinners. What should I do with them? Yaakov says, so no, finish them off. Dude. What?
Well,
what do you mean Asher Husham?
He's talking about that.
This is a medrash.
Yeah.
That's Yeshua, but this is a medrash. The medrash talks about during time of the Geula. Time of the Geula, Kadosh Baruch Hu will come and say that the Klal Yisrael have sinned. And therefore, they're not deserving of the Geula. Hashem first goes to Avraham Avinu. Avraham says, so what can I do? If they're not deserving of the Geula, they're not deserving. Hashem then goes to Yaakov. And Hashem says, and Yaakov says the same thing. What can I do for them? Then Hashem says there's no seichel in the Zekanim, and there's no hope in the young. I know Hashem says, Avraham and Yaakov, you have not come to the rescue. Let me go to Yitzchak. Hashem goes to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak says, Chatzi olai, half upon me and half upon you. Hashem, you'll do your part, and in my merit, you'll do the other part. So the question is, just the opposite. The Yitzchak Avinu is the Midas Hadin. If we would expect any one of the three of us to go hard, to be very strict with Klal Yisrael, we would expect Yitzchak to be the one that is the most stringent with Klal Yisrael. Avraham is Chesed, Yaakov is Emes. We would expect Avraham and Yaakov to be more lenient, and yet we find that it's Yitzchak that's the one that's going down the hall. So the answer the Chazal give is, Midas Hadin also demands that Hashem have Rachamim. There's a demand, you can find a kernel of good in the Jewish people, then the attribute of din demands that they be rewarded for that good deed. So Midas Hadin at times can work in our benefit. That's exactly the same idea over here. When Hashem created the world, the order is always first din and then rachamim. The difference is, the umos ha'olam, din comes in the form of punishment. Then, if they are deserving, Hashem brings refuah. He heals. He takes away the suffering. By Klal Yisrael, the refuah comes before the makah. The deeper meaning is, the refuah is the Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin demands, the attribute of strict justice demands that Klal Yisrael always have an escape clause. Klal Yisrael always have a means to rehabilitate themselves, always have a means to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, Midas HaRachamim, in order that we should be cleansed from our sins, Hashem brings upon us suffering, all for our benefit, not for punishment. It's a whole different perspective in looking at the refuah, kaidem the makah. It's a very deep idea. This idea when you reverse the din and the rachamim verse, neged the umosolam. All right, we will stop. Over